Hallelujah, hallelujah. He is the King of Kings. We want to welcome here into the service George Bottles from Houston, Texas. Also, Marcelle Jones from here in Beaumont, Texas. With Patricia Robertson from Silsbee, Texas. And Laura Chrisman, also from Silsbee, Texas. God bless you. And we welcome you into this service this morning and trust that when you leave here, you'll be able to say it was good, good to have been here. Hallelujah. I want you to turn with me to the 7th chapter of the Gospel of John. The 7th chapter of the Gospel of John. And I want to read verses 38 and 39. 38 and 39. Of the 7th chapter. He that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Then if you'll turn over to the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And if you'll turn to 2 Thessalonians for one other scripture. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I want to read in your hearing verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath chosen from the beginning, because God hath from the beginning, rather, chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. I'm not saying anything new to you when I say the Holy Spirit is God. And when he takes up the epithet holy as his proper name, when holy becomes a proper name of the Spirit, it is to teach us that the holiness of God has come nearer to us than it's ever been before. Now I want that to reign in your heart, that when he takes up the title for his proper name, Holy Spirit, it is saying that the holiness of God has come nearer than ever before. He is revealed as the power to make us holy. When the Bible said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, he's not just talking about walking on water, casting out devils, but he's saying the power to make you holy has come to you. He is revealed as this, the power to make holy. God comes nigh for the fulfillment of the promise. I am the one who makes you holy. In the person of the Holy Spirit, God comes nigh to us to fulfill that promise of making us holy. As long as the Holy Spirit's in this world, holiness will be the order of God. Holiness will be the order of God. The unseen, unapproachable holiness of God has been revealed and brought near in the life of Jesus. You watch him throughout the New Testament. The unseen, unapproachable holiness of God. And Christ himself then became the prism whereby you and I may look upon that holiness. All that hindered our participation in that holiness has been removed by the death of Christ. Everything that hindered me as a man, you as a person, for partaking in the holiness of God has been removed by the death of Jesus. The name Holy Spirit teaches us that it is especially the Spirit's work to impart to us God's holiness. That is to make God's holiness my holiness. That's the reason the Bible said, "Be ye holy as I'm holy." How does that happen? I can't ever become good as God, but God gives me His life. And the word Holy Spirit and the person of the Holy Spirit means that God has given me His own life, that scripture can be fulfilled in me when it commands of me that I be as holy as my Father is holy. Holiness. Now try to realize the meaning of this. The epithet that throughout the Old Testament has belonged to the Holy God is now appropriated to the Spirit that lives in us. You find throughout the Old Testament that word holy is always attached to God. Holy God. The Holy God. Now here, that title has been given to the Spirit that dwells within us, that Spirit that's in us. The words and the divine realities of the words express holy and Spirit are now inseparably and eternally united. That's what it's saying. That those two, holy and Spirit, are united. They're inseparable. It's an eternal thing. And when I receive of the Spirit of God, then I receive of the holiness of God. Why are you saying this? I'm saying it because there's people going around talking in tongues that are not living right. I said they're not living right. They have received something other than the Holy Spirit. If you receive the Holy Spirit, then He's come to make you holy. He's come to make you like God. And it's a nature and the emotions and the love of God that's come into the heart with that Spirit. I am He that makes you holy. You can have as much of the Spirit as you're willing to have of holiness. Ooh, let me say that again. I don't know where I wrote that down. I don't know where I found that. You can have as much of the Holy Spirit as you are willing to partake of His holiness. You know, the Bible said in the scripture I read in John 7:39, said, "For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, for Christ is not yet glorified." Maybe the reason He hasn't come into some, He hasn't been glorified in those lives. We've made it such a cheap thing in this time. You just come in off the street, somebody gives it to you, and you walk out like you came. But He comes when Christ is glorified. When in our lives, listen, I want to say it again, you can have as much of the Spirit as you're willing to have of the holiness, and you can only have as much holiness as you have of the indwelling Spirit. Amen. There's nothing about you that's holy. It's only God's nature in you that is holy. Isaiah said, "Our righteousness is as filthy rags." It is this indwelling Holy Spirit that imparts to us the holiness of God. Amen. There are those who pray for the Spirit because they want His light, they want His joy, they want His power. There's people who have all kinds of reasons for seeking the Holy Spirit. You ask them, "Why do you want the Holy Spirit?" "I want power." But their thought of the power He's going to bring, that ultimately the other power they're looking for works out of what He brings. I'm just simply saying that the power that Jesus was able to work came out of what He was. He was what He was by the Holy Spirit. And so people want Him. Amen. People want the Holy Ghost, because they want His light, His joy, and His powers, yet their prayer brings little, if any, blessings of power. And the reason is because they do not desire Him as the Holy Spirit. They don't desire Him as the Holy Spirit. They want Him as something, not subjective, but objective. Something they can use without being used by Him. Something that they can lay hold of for power to make a ministry. But they don't want Him in the light of the Holy Spirit that's coming into that life to make holy. You hear me? I said coming into that life to make that life holy. Amen. His burning purity, His searching, convicting life, His making dead the deeds of the body of self with its will and its power. Of all this, they're not too interested in. I said of all this, they're not too interested in. I can tell you if the Holy Spirit comes into this sanctuary this morning or any sanctuary in America like He wants to come, there'll be a lot more groaning than there is shouting. If He can come in here and touch you like He wants to touch you, you know, we get a little touch on the outward. We get happy and jump around. That's all well and good. I don't want nothing dead here. But I'm telling you, if He comes touches deep enough, He'll expose in these hearts of ours that which is not akin to God. He come to one day let me awake in the very image of Christ. That means all along the line, the most innocent things of this world become something that don't belong in me. The closer I get to God, we're enamored by a system that's an enemy of God. I mean, the best of us are enamored by a system that the Bible says is an enemy of God. But let me tell you, this Holy Spirit, as He moves in us, becoming our life and our mind. Listen, the Spirit cannot work in power in most people because they receive Him not as the Holy Spirit in the sanctifying of their own spirits. Let me say that again. They receive Him not as the Holy Spirit that's come to sanctify. As I read it to you in 2 Thessalonians, the Bible said it was a sanctification of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit has come. Listen, He's come to sanctify us, to make us holy. And the power of God cannot flow. You used to hear a whole lot more in this than you do. Amen. There's a time, ladies and gentlemen, that you heard the message, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. About every other time a man preached, they knew what holiness was. They were pushed into a corner by those that made it a legalistic something, become frightened to preach. I'm not talking about legalism. I'm talking about God's Holy Spirit is within me. And if I'm led by the Spirit, I'm going to walk holy from separated from inward sin and separated from an outward world. And it's only then can God's power work in us. He doesn't live in and through the unclean, the indifferent, the indifferent. He moves through those with a sanctifying power of God, sanctifying, working at the Spirit. At times and seasons of revival, as among the Corinthians and Galatians, the Holy Ghost may indeed come with power and mighty working, while His sanctifying power is but little manifest. You read there in Galatians and Corinthians, and that Holy Spirit came in times, amen, without too much evidence of His sanctifying power being made manifest. But listen, that's a transit thing. For unless that sanctifying power be acknowledged and accepted, those gifts will be lost, just like the word Corinth, just like they were. They said, we come behind in no gift, yet the Holy Spirit that brings those gifts couldn't affect the sanctification of life. They're drunk at the Lord's Supper. They're having immoral affairs. and still claim to belong to the church, and the church, it's not long till those gifts are lost right in the church. It's always that way. Primarily, he's come to set us apart so that God can flow through us. He cannot flow through us as long as we're mixed up with the rottenness of this world. You hear me now. You know, and I know, that it's become an old-fashioned, outdated message. I'm telling you, God is holy, and because he's holy, he says, if you're mine, you're going to be holy. And that holiness isn't a product of human effort. It's a product of a spirit that's holy in me. The Holy Spirit. Isn't that a beautiful sound? Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Not ghost. Holy Ghost. Amen. It is a holy, holy, holiness that's come in me. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. His gifts coming up on us are God's way of showing us a world that we can walk in if we're willing to die to this one. I'm going to say it. I know that I've had a lot of criticism across this nation in preachers' meetings on this one statement. I said most of the miracles that we see, and there's so precious little of them. Now, that's not a bad confession. There's not a lot of blind eyes being opened, and not a lot of cripples getting out of wheelchairs. That's not God's fault. The fault is we're not allowing the Holy Spirit to put us in a place where it can work. The condition of the church is going to determine that. But I said to people all over this nation that most of the miracles that we see, our own faith has nothing to do with it. It's just the sovereign working of God saying to the church, I'm still alive. And if you'll walk where I want you to walk, you can do what I tell you to do. You're not going to follow the devil and have the blessings of God. He's just saying, he lifts us up by those gifts and lets us look into a world that says, this is where you're to occupy. This is where you're to live. This is the place. Walk here. And the miracles of God flow out of such a life. Did you hear me? Amen. Those gifts have always been used of God. Amen. Showing us a world we can walk in if we allow the sanctifying power of the Spirit to do His work. Church, we must take this lesson to heart. We can only have as much of the Spirit as we're willing to partake of the holiness of God. Now, if you don't hear anything else I say, please hear me now. We can have only as much of His Spirit as we're willing to have of His holiness. And we can only have as much holiness as we have of the Spirit. God, help us to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm not interested in teaching anybody how to talk in tongues. In fact, I'm not interested in getting anybody to talk in tongues. I know if I get them full of the Holy Ghost, they'll talk in tongues, and that's the only tongue that's worthwhile. Amen. You can go around. Amen. One of our men had to be moved out and been gone, and he said, you can't believe what I've been having to put up with. He said, you go in the church, and the preacher says, now let's all stand and begin to practice our glossolalia or something else. Practice nothing. You practice holiness. You walk with God. Hallelujah. You stay full of the Holy Ghost. And as this river flows out of you, he said, out of your innermost being. And how does it come? He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said. There's no place in the Scripture where it says for you to come and take Jesus as your personal Savior. It don't say that nowhere. It said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. If a man believes, he obeys. If he disbelieves, he disobeys. And believing on God is to live like God wants you to live. And he said, if you believe on me, as the scripture said. Woo-wee. Hallelujah. That is, if you believe, you take this book to heart, you live like I tell you to live, what's going to happen, Lord? He said, out of your belly. Oh, yeah. Out of your belly, there'll flow a river of living water. And the Bible said, you don't have to beg that river to heal anybody. You don't have to wrestle around with devils. I've been through all that I'm going to. I've hollered and screamed and wrestled till his horse and the poor thing left like the king. I'm just saying, church, if we'll walk like we're supposed to walk, then the river that flows out of us will heal everything that it touches. Oh, hallelujah. Listen. To be full of the Spirit must mean to us to be one thing, fully holy. You hear me? To be full of the Spirit is to be fully holy. Look, I come here to talk to you. You don't hear what I say, no matter whatever else, you missed it coming here this morning. I ain't coming here talking about him. I'm here talking for him. And I'm telling you, to be full of the Holy Spirit is to be fully holy. And when I'm there, he flows. And whatever he touches, he heals. Oh, there ain't no problem with the church healing the sick if the church is right. Heal that church spiritually. And that church will heal every diabetic that sits on its pew. It'll heal every cancer that comes in its doors. Get that church in the place that it's supposed to be in. Amen. Listen. But the converse is equally true. We only have so much holiness as we have the Spirit. Some souls earnestly seek for holiness, but much in their own strength. Isn't it right? Much in their own strength. It's a struggle of trying to be in their self. Won't work that way. I said, won't work that way. In their own strength, they seek more for holiness than for the Spirit. But we must learn to see from self-effort in thinking, believing, willing, running. We must come to hope in God and wait patiently for God. You hear me? We must come to wait before the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Let me tell you, if hell can keep you out of a prayer meeting, then he can keep you from the holiness of God. And if it can keep you from the holiness of God, he'll keep you from the Spirit of the living God. It is here. Listen, it is here. Let me say it again. Amen. We must learn to cease from self-effort in our thinking, self-effort in our thinking, self-effort in our believing, in our willing and running. We must come to hope in God and wait on God. Amen. Wait on God. Now listen, he will by his Spirit make us holy. If he doesn't, it's not the Holy Spirit. Those that claim to be full of the Holy Spirit, still practicing idolatry, don't have this Holy Spirit. And you mark that down. He said, when he, this Holy Spirit, comes, he'll lead us into all truth. That is an absolute fact of this book. He'll guide us into all truth. Amen. He'll guide us into the way that we're to walk, the way we're to live, the way we're to conduct ourselves. Amen. And if that Spirit you have received, no matter where you received it, if its tendency wasn't to make you holy, then you received the wrong Spirit. I said you received the wrong Spirit. Amen. God's not silly, and God doesn't sin. It's a Holy Spirit. Now, how does the Holy Spirit make us holy? By revealing and imparting Christ. A hush gripped my soul when I typed that down. He makes us holy by revealing and imparting Christ. Amen. That is his means of making us holy. The Holy Spirit, through the word of the Lord, revealing and imparting Christ. God says Christ is made unto us what? Sanctification. Oh, hallelujah. Listen, there's been such a fuss over sanctification. Churches have been built on the issue of sanctification. Churches have been split on the issue of sanctification. Folks walked off on this issue. I had a man come out here, me and Brother Clifford were out here one Monday morning. I preached and went on the television. I preached on sanctification. And I was dealing with sanctification as a progressive issue, being conformed to the image of Christ. He came out. We just poured the slab on this building. He come out. He stopped that car. All four wheels are sliding. He come out of it still dust of fogging and said to me, "I heard you on the television." I said, "Well, a lot of people heard me on the television. And you said that sanctification wasn't an instantaneous matter, but it was a lifetime of being conformed." I said, "You sure were listening to me. That's what I said." He said, "Well, I can tell you, I can take you to the place where I was sanctified. And the old man was put dead once and for all. And he's about to hit me with his fist because I didn't believe in his sanctification." Amen. Face as red as this carpet. Let me tell you, sanctification is instantaneous and progressive. Christ has made unto me sanctification. I didn't receive him. I wasn't born again over a period of 6 months. Instantly, when I asked him, he came into my life. I received that sanctification. But for 37 years, the Holy Spirit has been trying to conform me to that image. That's what holiness is all about. When they see Jesus in you, they see holiness. When they see Buck Bridges or B.H. Clendenin, they see unholiness. How? He sanctified himself. Christ sanctified him for himself for us, that we ourselves might all be also be sanctified in truth. We are sanctified in Christ. We're sanctified in Christ. And yet, it is all beyond our reach, except as the Holy Spirit brings it to us inwardly and communicates it to us. This holiness is beyond us unless it's brought into us inwardly by the Holy Spirit and revealed to us by the Holy Spirit, communicated. This is the work for which he bears the divine name, Holy Spirit. That is to make us partakers of the holiness of God. Hallelujah. To make us partakers of the holiness of God. There's never in my lifetime been a day when the world needed to see a people holy. Now, I'm not talking about that holier than thou, pulling your skirts around you and can't walk on the street. I'm talking about a people that can carry Christ to the marketplace, carry him to the job, can carry him in the home, can carry him in the school, and live above the reproach and compromise of a rotten world. This isn't a glass house experience. You don't have to be hip to be holy. You can walk for God along the brink of hell. I believe the Holy Ghost can keep me. The Bible said where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. I don't care if every other person in America becomes a pervert. Somebody get a hold of that now. Everybody in America, every other person, everybody but you, turns to drug, to sin, to perversion, you can walk on. I said you can walk on. They can stack them beer joints four high down the neighborhood where you live. They can have their filth portrayed flowing like a river. But we can walk in the middle of it singing, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Here's it. It is this blessed Holy Spirit. He does it by revealing Christ. So we begin to see what is in him. He does it, second, by discovering the deep unholiness of our own nature. Let me tell you, you never know. The Bible says that the heart is deceitful, desperately wicked. Who can know? Who can know? He reveals and imparts and makes us holy. Number one, by discovering to us the holiness of Christ, the infinite holiness of Christ. Second, discovering to me the unholiness of my own nature. Amen. These first must come as a revelation for that indwelling spirit. The holiness of Jesus. To see him and what's in him, and then to see me and to see what's in me. That is the first step. Listen, I said that's the first step. He does it then by mightily strengthening us to believe, to receive Jesus himself as our life. Amen. He then becomes my life. It cannot be otherwise. I cannot imitate him. The flesh cannot imitate him. If I'm going to live holy, I'm going to have to walk in his life. I'm going to have to learn the leadership and the walk in the Holy Ghost. If I walk in the Spirit, I shall not fulfill the lusts and the desires of the flesh. The Bible says he or she that committeth sin is of the devil. You ever read that in your Bible? He that committeth sin is of the devil. That's just simply saying when you do wrong as a Christian, when you sin as a child of God, that you've reverted back to type. You're walking in the flesh. He that committeth sin is of the devil. But that which is born of God cannot sin. If I walk in the Spirit, I will not, cannot, shall not fulfill the lusts of this flesh. But if I don't walk in the Spirit, the thing's going to come out as me. And when me comes out, there's going to be sin. I said there's going to be sin. It's going to be wrong. Because that's the enemy. Amen. That's corrupted. That's depraved. That's out. Vanity rode over it. There's no place for it in this economy. As I walk in this, listen. As I walk in the Spirit, this is what he's saying. Revealing Christ. Walking in Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. He does it by leading us to despair of self, surrender to Jesus. Then he does it in the secret depths of the heart, imparting. Listen to me. Oh, my heart beat faster when I come here. You know, this world of psychiatry and psychology and psychoanalysis, and they've come up with all kinds of hang-ups in the human, and everything you do is because of some traumatic experience that happened to you when you was a baby. Mama stubbed your head on the floor, or she didn't let you throw the eggs on the ceiling, or something else. You know, it's all in the psychoanalysis. We've reduced it down to something of the past. Amen. But you're dealing with a human nature that the Bible said the works of it is adultery, fornication, murder, sorcery, witchcraft, bitterness. In all of these things are work of that life. Amen. But God, when I'm born again, I become holy, and Christ is brought through me in the secret depths of our hearts. He imparts, the Holy Spirit imparting dispositions and graces of Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Think about it. You look at your own life without Christ. Amen. We're mean, we're brash, we're unkind, we let bitterness rule in our heart. But as we walk with Christ, the Holy Spirit, in that secret chamber of the heart, he imparts the graces of Christ, he imparts the disposition of Christ. And in instances where ordinarily I would have exploded, I'm shocked because I didn't explode. Amen. I come away from it. I say, thank God I acted like a Christian ought to act. How come the Holy Spirit had displaced my ugliness with the beauty of Christ? Hallelujah to God. If I could sing, I'd tell Jim to hit the key. I'd sing that chorus, something beautiful, something good. Oh, my something. Amen. He understood. Oh, he took all of that ugliness and made something beautiful out of it. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. In that secret heart, so that from the inner center of our life, holiness flows out through us from down in there. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. It isn't a certain look. We've tried to make it that. It's always moderate. It's always temperate. It's always that I don't attract attention to myself. Amen. But out of it flows that meek and quiet and spirit of holiness and godliness, because it's been imparted and replaced, displaced that awful thing of myself that there wasn't anything good in, but the Holy Spirit in his working down inside of us, as we come to wait before him, as we read the word, as we honestly pray, you know, the changes. Amen. I can't notice in you the changes in you this week. I can't just look and see that you're a better person. But if you've been waiting before God, amen, every act of virtue makes you a more virtuous person. Every act of vice makes you a more vicious person. Every minute you spend waiting upon God conditions you to be more Christ-like. And though the world may not see it this morning, the scales of heaven can weigh every act. And God knows I'm a better person because I sought him this week. Woo-wee. Hallelujah. God knows that I'm a better person because I waited on him. Hallelujah. Listen, the chief means of sanctification God uses is his word. But I want to get this to you in closing here. The chief means is his word. But you've got to understand, without the work of the Holy Spirit, that can never be, no matter how much you know it. How much you know, I say that the chief means of sanctification that God uses is His Word, yet how much there is of preaching and teaching that has almost no effect in making men holy. How much of it has no effect whatsoever on making men holy? It is not the Word, but God that sanctifies. You can memorize the Bible and not be sanctified. But until it comes alive, you see, it's not the Word, it's God that sanctifies. Nor is it simply the Word, but through the truth that is in the Word. Man can handle these words, study them, speak them, yet be entire stranger to the holiness of that Word. Only God, through the Spirit, can make us holy. Only God, through the Spirit, can make us holy. To be full of the Holy Spirit is to be fully holy. Person comes, and the vessels run over. When at first, what we call baptized, filled, it hardly takes an eyedropper. God gives us that earnest that we're so full of self that you can run us over with an eyedropper. But as the Holy Spirit deals with us and we realize the truth in this Word, not just the Word, God begins to probe and dig out the debris. The vessel is enlarged. The vessel is enlarged. It must be filled again. Filled again. Filled again. Where we can say with Paul, "For me to live is Christ." Bow your head with me. Father, the holiness of Thy presence here this morning, I felt so near to Thee. I have spoken Your Word. I've said in the hearing of this people what I honestly believe You would have said if You would have stopped in here physically. Don't let anybody take it lightly. We're handling the Word of truth and life. Eternal values are at stake. All can be lost or saved here now. People in this television audience that are about to leave us, don't let a one of them be unmoved by what they hear. In the name of Jesus, God bless you and good night.